Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Atlanta Business Radio. Stone Payton, Katie Galley here with you this morning. Lee Cantor, 2 days in a row on Walkabout. What is the deal with him? Is he leaving this whole thing with us?
It's weird.
But we're going to make it through without him. Maybe we'll see him later this afternoon. It's going to be a fantastic show. Katie, a little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to meet with a gentleman from Dragoons Media. His name is Justin Hackney. Mm-hmm. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce leadership development and career coach with Make Waves. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Miss Denise Peake. Good morning, sunshine.
Good morning. Thank you, Stone. Looking forward to talking.
Well, so are we. Tell us about Make Waves. What are you out there doing for folks?
I'm out there in two real sectors. I do corporate coaching with leaders who are struggling to manage their teams, and they really need some help in the people management side of things, because that is one of the most challenging things that people face in a business environment. And then I also do a lot of career development coaching. You know, when people are mid-career, sometimes they hit the wall and they ask themselves, is this it? Is this all there is? So I help them figure out what's next.
And how do you go about doing that? I mean, how did you decide to kind of get into this space, and how did you recognize this big need?
Well, I spent 11 years teaching high school.
Oh. And then, I'm sorry.
I know, when I lived to tell about it. I loved it. But then I got into corporate leadership development, and I did that for about 15 years. And I saw a real need and found myself coaching people just inadvertently on a regular basis. Both managers, individual contributors, people are yearning to figure out who they are and what they need and how they can align their values to the work. And so in 2008, I decided to go out and get a credential. So I spent a year in a coaching program, so became a certified professional coach and also probably a little certifiable. And and in 2011, I jumped off the corporate bus and started. I had put my own business in place, so I went out on my own and wanted to see what might happen.
So what was it you recognized? You just saw kind of this need as, and you were addressing it without even being certified, but then you went and you saw that you could go through a certification process and really kind of focus in and niche down, and then you just broke off. So what made you decide that you wanted to start your own business and really kind of just, I guess, make a business around what you were already doing naturally?
And what did your roommate say about all this?
Nothing. Actually, everyone encouraged me, and it was really nice. But I decided to go out on my own because I wanted to be my own boss. I wanted to plan my own schedule. I didn't want to work 8 to 5 anymore. And I also wanted to touch a variety of people out there. So that's what I do.
So I'm interested to learn more about this certification program, because it sounds like it's pretty rigorous, disciplined deal. Tell us about that.
Well, the name of the school I attended was IPEC. There are several. But
this is the best one.
I did the research. I did the research. So you spend about 583 hours of training. You do 4 on-site sessions for 30 hours a pop. And instead of going to the Atlanta one, I went to Tampa because I really wanted to be near the beach. That's why my company is named Make Waves. So you spend a lot of time coaching each other. You work with a master certified coach. You read. You have mastermind groups. You meet weekly. So it was really interesting and fulfilling. You also find out all about yourself. So the core of the coaching that I do, 2 factors. Emotional intelligence is what I use as a baseline, and I can talk more about that. But it's also based on quantum theory, energy. So you teach people, if they're feeling like a victim, if they're in conflict, you teach them how to shift their energy to a better place. And you teach them really how to control their thought process to avoid getting stuck. So it doesn't always work, and it doesn't happen every day. But when people learn techniques like that, they're happier people.
And so how did you go about, I mean, the emotional intelligence component of that? I mean, you have to be pretty aware, self-aware yourself, and then just to recognize it in other people. So how do you, I mean, what is emotional intelligence and what is that facet of your business?
Emotional intelligence is the baseline. So when I start working with somebody, I use an assessment called the EQI, and it measures five content areas with 14 content subscales. So it's interpersonal, stress management, decision-making, and just optimism. So it's quantifiable. And that's why business people respond to it, because they want to see something in black and white that they've said about themselves. The assessment itself only takes about 20 minutes, but it creates a report. And what I look at with people is, are you balanced? So you might have high self-regard, and that's important. But then you might have low empathy, so you're not connecting with other people. So we talk about techniques where people can improve those skills. For example, you might have high independence, which means you like to make decisions on your own. But how's your interpersonal rating? You know, do you work well with others as well? So it's really the ability to get along with other people. And it is the number one leadership predictor of success. So both personally and professionally.
So you're not locked into whatever this score, whatever this assessment reveals. You don't say, well, that's me.
Nope.
No, what that gives you a place to start.
That's right, because any of those skills can be improved upon.
Right.
It's not like Myers-Briggs, which many of us have taken, which really just tells us how we're wired. Either you're an introvert or an extrovert, and there's really not much you can do about it. But with emotional intelligence, you can actually elevate. And so I work with people on techniques of how to do that. For example, if somebody has really low empathy, means they're not connecting with other people, I recommend that they go out and do volunteer work with people who are needy to really understand it's not so bad and give them a chance to see what people are like, and it can help raise your score. If you don't work well with other people, I have them keep a communication log. How am I interacting in meetings? Ask for feedback. I use a process that Marshall Goldsmith created called Feed Forward. So I say, who are five key people at work or in your life? And I go to those people and I ask two basic questions. Stone would be, what does Stone do really well? And he could be so much better if only he fill in the blank. And I gather that feedback and share it with people so they can see how they're perceived, because we all know perception is reality. Even if you think you're doing well, if other people have a different opinion, it gives you some feedback that you can work on.
So how do you come up with, so you have, I mean, the suggested volunteer work for a lack of empathy. And so with different areas, how do you come up with the things to suggest that these people take part in order to develop these areas that are lacking with their emotional intelligence?
Well, I was trained to use the assessment with a company called EQ University. I actually went to Austin, Texas, and I was trained one-on-one with a former Air Force pilot and psychoanalyst.
Okay.
And he taught me how to use the assessment because I took it. And we looked at different profiles and looked at, they have data. So predictability of success is sort of documented. It's a very certified profile. It's not just some fly-by-night, touchy-feely, what color are you? You know.
Yeah. Well, do you see some, because you've been at it a while now, do you see some patterns over and over, and you just kind of walk into a situation and you think to yourself, okay, I know what I'm working with here. I've seen this before.
Right. So I'm looking for balance, and I generally see people in leadership roles. If people are successful in sales, they're probably going to have a high score. I've seen a couple of people where the self-regard score was extremely low, meaning the person was depressed.
Yeah.
And I can't coach people like that. I recommend that they get a different kind of help, because I'm not qualified. You know.
So this all sounds like marvelous work or very practical, I guess I should say, for the self-personally accountable client.
Right.
And do you find yourself coming into situations where, you know, the vice president, Bill, has said, I need you to come in because I really need you to fix Bob and Sue.
And I tell Bill, I can't fix people. They have to, and that can be an issue. If right. the company hires you, you have to make sure that they understand, is this person willing to be coached? So I have a meeting up front, and I can get inside their head pretty quickly.
But not everybody's coachable, or at least not prepared to embrace this, I guess.
That's exactly right. One of the first people I coached independently, I had to fire. because she wasn't moving.
Right.
She wouldn't move. And so you don't berate people when that happens. You just say, why do you think you're not being accountable? Why? You set some goals and then you aren't doing anything about it. And if that becomes a pattern, I have to say, I really can't help you. Ethically, I don't want to take somebody's money if they're not going anywhere.
So do you see, I mean, just... I was just thinking about this. So when you coach people from the personal perspective and the professional perspective, do you see that maybe they have areas that they're lacking in their professional work life, but then in their personal life, it's kind of a balance, like they kind of make up for it in their personal life? Is there any, or does it just carry across from if they have these, they're lacking these traits in their personal life, they lack them in the professional setting as well?
Sometimes people show up two different ways. Mm-hmm. They show up one way at work and one way at home. But that's okay. That's okay. It depends on the job, you know. But what we start with after the EQ assessment is values identification. Because if people's values are not being satisfied at work, they're not going to be happy. So their values have to be in sync with the company's values. And I've done a lot of training on that back in my corporate life. It was a program called Managing Personal Growth. And it's a program. I'm a certified facilitator for them.
Well, you got a lot of credentials, sounds like.
Well, you know, I was very lucky in the corporate world that the companies would sponsor me, you know, going through programs.
Oh, you did it on their nickel. That's good for you.
Not the coaching program. Because I knew I was going to leave. I had a 3-year plan. And so that's what I help people with, because I've changed careers twice. So if they really want to do something else, we look at their skills and say, okay, which of these skills are transferable? What can you use somewhere else, maybe doing something else?
Well, I'll tell you, I really resonate with what you said a moment ago about values.
Yes.
One of my financial advisor type people is very fond of saying, and I think maybe he got the quote from one of the Disney guys, but what he is fond of saying and repeating to me whenever we're talking about stuff is, when your values are clear, your decisions are easy.
Yes.
That makes all the sense in the world to me.
It's true. Let's say you have somebody with a high value of achievement and they're in a job where they're not achieving anything. They want to leave. They want to do something else. And so helping them figure out what that is important. If somebody has a high value of family happiness and they're being asked to work 80 hours a week, that work-life balance is not there and they're not happy and they need to go find something where they can balance that out.
So I kind of said in jest a little while ago, I asked you how your roommate responded. I meant like a spouse or significant other, because I can imagine, well, actually, I've lived through coming home and, honey, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do that. So I'd be interested in how that plays out when you choose to make such a leap from a corporate job into the entrepreneurial world, and then any other counsel that you might have to offer those of us out there that are seriously considering leaving that cocoon and striking out on our own.
It is a cocoon. And as I mentioned, I had a 3-year plan.
Yeah.
So there's a great book by Michael Port called Book Yourself Solid, and it walks you through the process. But I had a plan. So I put my website up, put a business plan together, figured out how much money I would need that first year if I didn't have any clients. So I really prepared for that, came up with what I stood for. So when you're a coach, you can't just coach everybody. It's important to have a niche. So I decided to go with what I know best, and that's leadership development, because I've done training in that for years and worked with people on that. And also career development, you know, career change, because I've done it. So you have to have a level of maybe being unafraid to do it. But when you commit to it, and I fully believe this from an energy perspective, when you put your intentions out there in the universe, it comes back to you. you have to be realistic about what those intentions are. But it's like I worked for a general contractor years ago, and the owner said, he was speaking, he was very inspirational. And I remember he said, you know, you're never going to win the lottery if you don't buy a ticket.
Right. Yeah.
So buying a ticket is really thinking about what you want, not what you don't want, but focus on what you want and put those intentions out there. And that's not just some pie in the sky. Quantum theory scientifically tells us that's true.
So you touched on a little bit earlier, and I mean, just bridging off of that, that transitional period of sometimes people realizing they're not exactly where they want to be. And just that kind of happens at some point in their lives, or it can happen. So just when have you seen that that happens most predominantly, and how do you go about combating that and helping guide them through that?
It's called midlife crisis. It typically happens to, it doesn't happen to everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, my brother was an engineer his whole career. He knew what he wanted to be. He did it and he retired. But some people hit the wall in their 40s and they start wondering and yearning for something different, something else. They feel kind of a void inside. And so I help people kind of figure out what that is. And again, some people, I've had a couple of people who would not leave the corporate cocoon. I like that term. I'm going to steal that. But they wouldn't leave because they wanted the financial security. And I get that.
Sure.
Because that means one of their values is financial security. Mm-hmm. So you have to satisfy that value. You have to be willing to take a risk if you want to step out there. And by the way, you mentioned this a couple of times. My spouse was behind me 100%. My friends were all about it. Yes, that's what you should be doing. And the first consulting job I really had, I was still working. And the guy was an entrepreneur, and I was doing HR consulting for him because he didn't have an HR person. And he kept telling me over and over, you need to be on your own. You know, you really need to be on your own. Mm-hmm. So he kind of mentored me. Unfortunately, I finally had to tell him, you need to hire a full-time HR person because I can't do this anymore. But I think having people behind you and around you, you have to find those people. It's important to surround yourself with positive people. That's another aspect of being happy. If you allow yourself to be around negative people all the time, that drains you. We've all had that person at work. When that person walks into the break room, we walk out. Or when that person walks into my office, I pretend I'm on the phone.
Oh, that's funny. So how does the whole sales and marketing thing work for you? And I'm asking because this strikes me as a very competitive arena. There are a lot of folks out there, I think, trying to serve people in this fashion. A
lot of coaches.
And it also strikes me as what might be a difficult conversation to master, at least in the early years. You're talking to a senior executive or an individual, and you're trying to convey the value of this service. So I'm very interested, and I think our listeners will be too, how the whole sales and marketing thing, how to do that piece of this.
Well, the program I went through did a lot of business development training as well. How to structure your pricing, the Book Yourself Solid book talks about how to market yourself. It's important to be on the internet. It's important to have a presence there. But as a coach, my business is referral based. So the bulk of people who come to me because somebody said it just happened. And right. As a matter of fact, I was coaching someone who was looking for a job. She told her best friend about it. Now I'm coaching him, you know, so that's kind of how it works. But in terms of marketing and coaching, networking is really important. I belong to the City Club of Buckhead. I get out there. I go to different meetings, wherever I can go and talk about coaching. I do presentations. So I do a lot of WebExes I also do leadership development for companies all over the world. I work with an e-learning vendor, and I have 13 clients worldwide. So I design their leadership programs. I do some facilitation for them via WebEx. And then speaking engagements. Find ways to go out there and speak for people. I was approached by a friend who worked for this, or actually belonged to this organization of executive assistants for design firms.
Wow. How about a niche, huh?
So I talked about coaching up because executive assistants are key gatekeepers in the workplace. And I talked about how important they are and how to coach their bosses and coach their bosses' employees because they do it all the time. And I made sure that I wore a really flashy outfit because they work for design firms. So, you know, psychologically, when you present, you want to be buttoned up in how you look. And then you don't have to worry about that. All you have to worry about is the content.
And now you can connect with the audience. Well, I'm glad I asked because referrals are great. And that sounds like a marvelous way to build a business. And you clearly have a lot of things going and they all sort of feed each other with the speaking engagements and the networking. And I'm operating under the impression your EQ is very high. So when you do meet me at a networking event, you're not looking over my shoulder for the next person you're going to hurry up and chat with and trade business cards. You're going to have a genuine conversation, right?
That's exactly right. It's about being genuine and authentic. And that's another thing I talk to people about in coaching. If you're not showing up the way you want to today, you can change that at any time, starting now. But another place you really need to go, and all business people need to be out on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is very important. And that's how y'all found me.
Yeah.
So, and the most important thing about LinkedIn is that paragraph at the top, because people aren't going to read further if you don't have an articulate, crisp description of who you are and what you are. So,
well, that is marvelous counsel. And I'm sorry we don't really have time for you to fix Katie in this segment. And I know you wouldn't do that anyway, would you?
Katie seems all right.
She is more than all right.
Thank you.
We don't have time for you to fix me or help me. Well, but this has been very insightful. Thank you so much for coming to join us. If our listeners want to reach out and have a conversation with you or somebody on your team, what is the best way for them to do that? Whatever coordinates are appropriate, LinkedIn, website, whatever.
I'm on LinkedIn under Denise Peak. My email address is coachdenise.peak@comcast.net. And I will answer. So rest assured, don't contact me on Facebook because I won't be, that's strictly social and I don't consider it a good place for business. So if I don't know you, I'm not going to friend you.
Well, this has been a lot of fun and I'm so delighted you had a chance to come visit with us and so glad you got to meet me.
Thank you so much for having me today. I really enjoyed it.
Hey, stay with us. We're going to visit with one more guest this morning.
Okay.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us with Dragoons Media, love the tagline, the front lines of advertising. Please join me in welcoming to the show, Justin Hackney. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Stone.
Well, it is marvelous to have you.
Thank you.
What did you learn in that last segment? Did you pick up anything? I thought I saw you take a note or two.
Oh, yeah, I was taking my own notes. And it's interesting. I work with a lot of coaches.
Oh, yeah?
And one of the things that she mentioned was, you know, referral programs. That's a lot of small business owners' main source of sales is referrals. But in 2018, we have the ability to duplicate referrals digitally online, right? That may have been redundant. But we have the ability to duplicate referrals through sales funnels, through referral programs that you can build out, a number of different platforms out there. If any of your listeners, by the way, I'm going to try to be very tactical today. I want a lot of your listeners to be able to take some of the things that I say and apply them to their business today.
Yeah.
But there's a software called UpViral, UpViral. If you go there, visit, I think you can get a free trial, but it's a great software platform to build out referral programs. I appreciate you inviting me here today. I want to talk a lot about advertising, a lot about marketing, and hopefully, like I said, a lot of your listeners can get something out of it.
So can you talk a little bit more about, UpViral?
Yeah. Yes.
So you do you have a clear knowledge of different applications to you. So how did you get into this arena and learn so much about it?
You know, I would have never guessed 10 years ago that I'd be sitting here, you know, talking about Dragoons Media, talking about running an advertising agency. I was actually a military guy myself. I had my whole 20 years planned out for me. And, you know, after high school, got deployed to Mosul, Iraq. with First Cav. Did a lot of training myself up there. Trained Iraqi police in Mosul near the Syrian border. You know, had grander plans of succeeding in the military. But I think that there's a lot more happiness and money outside of the military. So I got out, right? So I got out and my whole 20-year plan sort of came crashing down on me. And I think that happens to many of us. So luckily, I had a mentor in my life, a gentleman by the name of Mr. Ed Webb. He still is the president of the World Trade Center of Kentucky. And he said, come work for me for a little while. So I did. And what I did there was did sales. So events, tickets, that sort of thing. Reached out to a lot of people. You know, part of my job was when the Irish consulate would come into town, I would take him out to the horse tracks and we would drink whiskey.
Hey, somebody's got to do it, man. It's tough work. But hey.
So I said, you know, so I went back to Ed and I said, is this really a job? He said, yeah. So I said, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. But that's sort of, it's a good segue into the next chapter in my life, because as a salesman, you know, I had a number of jobs after that. I've worked for pharma companies, that sort of thing. Big Fortune 100 companies.
You can't hold a job.
I can't, right. you know, Fortune 100s. And then I realized very quickly when I had to send an email to my manager about the temperature in the room, I said, I can't do corporate America. So I need to work with startups. So at that time I was in Raleigh, moved to Atlanta, to the Atlanta Tech Village, and took over the marketing program for an ed tech company, actually. That was at the time, didn't even have a website. And so we had to create the website, create the sales program, create the marketing, the advertising. And just through that experience, I broke off on my own. And, ever since then, it's been a fun ride. But just to go back to, you know, to my original experience in sales, and this applies to small business owners as well, because a lot of small business owners are the primary seller the business, right? They're spending a lot of time at the top of the funnel. You know, 80% of my time was being spent prospecting. And the great thing is we have technologies today that allow you to spend more of your time at the bottom of the funnel doing activities that are revenue generating. Right. Having conversations with people, closing deals, signing contracts. Those are things that generate revenue. It's not necessarily, you know, how many emails can I send out today? Yes, you should be doing that. But there are things that will help you as a small business owner that may have an issue with bandwidth, because a lot of people do. There's tools that are out there that'll help you automate those processes. And maybe if you do a little digging, we can get into some of that. Because what I do, what Dragoons does for our clients, is we build out digital sales funnels. So we use a multi-touch system, meaning there's a number of different platforms that talk with each other in order to create a sales process. So we use Facebook advertising just because it's the cheapest cost per action out there,
mm-hmm.
right? It amazes me that 85% of businesses don't use Facebook advertising. And I just want to point on a thing that I heard earlier about Facebook being a place where it's not necessarily a place where you do business. That is changing, right? The landscape, the digital and social landscape is completely changing. Let me just tell you a story. You know, my dad is, I think he's like 61. I'm not sure. He's old.
No, that is not old. Denise and I don't think that's old at all.
So I'm kidding. But my point is he is in a generation that you think would not be on Snapchat. Snapchat is primarily a social platform that has been used for people between the ages of, let's just say, 15 to 25, right? He can't stop Snapchatting me anymore, right? He'll send me poop emojis sometimes, right? So it's just when you start opening up your eyes to what's really happening online, the opportunities are pretty amazing. People are doing more and more business on Facebook as well as other platforms. So as a small business owner, we should never dismiss a potential opportunity to grow our business. And I just think it's a matter of, people not being informed on the subject matter.
And all this stuff changes so fast.
It changes so fast.
Right?
It changes all the time. If you looked at LinkedIn, you mentioned LinkedIn. I do a lot of LinkedIn training for my clients. I don't necessarily usually consult. Now, this is not always the case, but I don't usually consult with my clients on how to advertise on LinkedIn just because their advertising platform hasn't quite caught up with the Facebooks of the world and the Googles of the world. But developing a great sales program on LinkedIn, you can do that and utilize different automated tools that can help you do that at scale so that you're not sacrificing quality to get the quantity that you need to bring in the sales that you need, right? Just to mention it, you know, you mentioned things are changing constantly.
Yeah.
Look at Microsoft's acquisition of LinkedIn. I think they acquired LinkedIn into that the end of 2016 for about $26.2 billion. Right. Now, you know, I wish someone would just throw me a million here and there, you know, from corporate America. But ever since Microsoft had acquired LinkedIn back in late 2016, they have came out with more updates. Let me just paint this picture for you. In the first half of 2017, LinkedIn came out with more updates than the entirety of 2016. So yes, things are changing really fast, but it's our job as business owners, it's our job as marketers, as growth hackers, as salespeople to stay up to date. And if you don't have the bandwidth, well, hire someone or outsource it so that you do. But your business needs LinkedIn, it needs Facebook, it needs it needs an online presence, but it also needs an online program. It doesn't need to be just a business card online, right? Mm-hmm. If that's the case, then don't put any energy into it. Yeah.
So let's walk through an example if we can. And I think maybe that'll give you an opportunity to describe some different tactics and some different tools. But let's take Business Radio X, for example.
Sure.
So we have a studio here. Okay. That you're sitting in. It is also headquarters that you're sitting in. We have three studios here in Atlanta. We have five in the whole system. We got one in Phoenix, one in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. Our intent, Lee Cantor and I, we want to grow this network. We want to have studios all over the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the studio level, we are pro-business earned media. No one ever pays to be on a show. That's a very important aspect of our business. And we have a business model up under this in that we do show small, medium-sized business owners, primarily in the professional services arena, how to capitalize on this platform to serve their ecosystem. And so that they can meet hard to reach people and they can genuinely serve those folks by generating content for themselves and for their guests. Mm-hmm. So we have to market what we do. So if we sat down with you, mm-hmm. you would walk us through the different ways we could do everything from invite guests to talk to potential studio partners or
sure.
What would that engagement look like?
So there's two things that we can talk about. There's a paid avenue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a free, more guerrilla tactics approach that you could take to marketing. But
Katie's got plenty of money. Charge her full fee. Let's get the Cadillac version.
Katie, let's do this. If you don't mind, you have Instagram, correct?
I do. Do you want the Business Radio X one or mine?
Let's just use yours, right? So.
Okay.
As you were interviewing your last guest, I was just looking up Atlanta Business as a hashtag on Instagram, for instance. Okay. Atlanta Business as a hashtag has about 30,000 posts. So what we can do, and anyone listening to this program can do this for their own business right now, is go to the most relevant hashtags. You look up pictures that you know, maybe you see a face on them. You definitely want to see people. You can reach out to businesses, but it's better, I think, to reach out as a person.
Mm-hmm.
If you click on that picture, you're going to see three little dots at the top right. You click on those three little dots and something's going to come up. And what you can see, if it is, in fact, a person, you can send that person a message. Well, you know that they use the hashtag Atlanta Business, right? And you can even spend a little bit more time on that picture and collect a little bit more information about that person before you reach out to them. But that is one way in which you could use Instagram, for instance, to reach out to people in Atlanta that are obviously interested in business to come and listen to your show.
Right. And I've got cool stuff to say to them. I don't have to say, hi, I'm Stone. You know, you ought to buy my stuff. I could say, right. Hey, we just, you know, we just had a great interview with Justin Hagney. You might really enjoy it.
Right.
And that's a good, I mean, I'm genuinely serving this person. Right. Okay. Right.
You know, just look up interesting hashtags on Instagram. You know, Atlanta Tech Village, Switch Yards, you know, Ponce City Market, ATDC, these types of hashtags that people around Atlanta are using that you can kind of infer that they do fit your target audience.
So this might be one component of this whole quilt that you would kind of help us craft so that we aren't spending all of our time just at the top of the funnel.
Right. Again, that's a time intensive tactic, but that's a tactic that a lot of business owners don't use, and it's there for you. And the great thing about it is this: platforms like Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, they have an extremely high open rate when you message somebody. You're looking at about a 90% open rate. Just let's just say that's average, right? You know, LinkedIn's definitely about 90%.
Wow.
You know, Facebook, I integrate chatbots, and I definitely want to talk about that today. Is chatbots. Is that something that I've been very big in and bullish on, especially with my clients? These things have very high open rates and they're very cheap to get people to opt into. Now, I suspect a lot of your listeners still have an email marketing program in their business.
I imagine, yeah.
Right. May I ask, do you guys email people? Do you guys have programs where you email people? Do you have mass emails that you send out?
We do send out a corporate newsletter, maybe quarterly.
What's the open rate?
Oh, nothing. I mean, it's a single digit, right, Katie? Is that true?
It's not great.
I mean, I truly don't know, but Katie would know.
It's not great.
It's not 90%. Well, I can tell you
the average is anywhere between 20 and 30, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Right? Okay.
I've heard of some that are, you know, better, but generally the ones that are better have better open rates, take longer to develop because they have a more, you know, targeted message.
Right.
But emails nowadays, it's not like the 90s when, you know, when you got an email, you read it, right, Stone? I mean, when you got...
Oh, yeah. Oh, you got an email. I remember getting so jazzed when I learned you could attach something to it.
Right.
That was so cool.
So we have to, as business owners, we need to look at where attention is being held, right? We spend the majority of our time, if we're online, we spend the majority of our time on social platforms like Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. I won't say Twitter so much just because, but.
Okay. But again, these are moving targets. You may come in here next month. You know, we do like a segment on digital marketing funnel and you might say, hey, Twitter's really changed. Yeah, I mean, it really does move that fast, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, that's business. You know, I hear that a lot. That's business. Things move and you have to be able to, move with the punches and go with the flow. And like I said, either you need to take the time out to educate yourself as a small business owner, as a salesman, as a marketer, in these different spaces, or you need to outsource your resources.
Yeah, you can be my bandwidth. Sherpa. Somebody on your team can be our Sherpa, and you can guide Katie through the, you know, all that terrain. Yes?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So look, you know, here's another tactic that that I'll just put out there for your listeners and for. And for you guys, I'll do this for free. Okay.
I'll take it.
So if you go to the Google Chrome store and you type in Linked Helper, download that as a Chrome extension to your desktop, and just look up Linked Helper on YouTube. I'm not going to get into a training session right now, but Linked Helper as a tool, what it does is it helps salespeople, it helps business owners automate their LinkedIn process, right? So for instance, one of the things that it can do is you can set certain search parameters on your LinkedIn, right? So let's just say for you guys, for instance, you guys want to get in front of entrepreneurs here in Atlanta, right? Great. So you can look that up on LinkedIn. You can look, there's a lot of people that have their title as founder, co-founder. I mean, I have my title is a co-founder on LinkedIn. That's how I identify myself. Some people identify themselves as CEOs, managing partner. Look up these things, set them as search parameters. Once you set those search parameters, it's almost like LinkedIn is doing the prospecting for you. in the past, you would have to manually do this, right? And you'd have to go to a company page, you have to look up the people, try to find as much information as you can, try to build some sort of a list, and then reach out to them. Now, it takes me 5 minutes to think of search parameters. I pull up the list, and Linked Helper will then reach out to all of those prospects with a targeted message, because I've developed a message on Linked Helper, created a list, and the message is very focused, because I know that they're entrepreneurs, I know that they're business owners here in Atlanta. So the message might, and it should be very short and conversational. It should say, "Hey, you know, I see that you're you're an executive at a small business here in Atlanta, and I think that you'd be really interested in our radio show. Would love if you would come and visit us sometime, or reach out to us if you have any questions." Bam, and you send that message out to hundreds of people. You know, there's an ethics question, I think, because this whole idea is so new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this sort of gets into the realm of chatbots, right? Even though Linked Helper is not a chatbot, it does get into that realm. And a lot of people do ask the question, is it okay to have a conversation with a potential customer, for instance, if the chatbot is actually the one talking to them, right? If the bot is actually the one talking to them. What I would say is this. There's a few things. The first thing is this. I would be saying the same exact thing anyways. I would just be doing it manually, right? The message wouldn't be changing. My time would just be taken up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, a lot of salespeople are spending too much time at the top of the funnel. You need to be spending more time at the bottom of the funnel. Send out that blast. It should be a targeted message. Again, we should not be sacrificing quality to get to quantity. And you don't have to do that in 2018 like you have in the past. And you'll see that your revenue generating activities will increase if you start to use some of these tools.
So focusing, I mean, that's really interesting. I never thought about that. But then, so if someone were to come to the Business Radio X website, or they go to a website and you get that pop-up and it says you can sign up for our newsletter or put your email in now and you get this special episode of Atlanta Business Radio. So whereas that tactic is they're like self-selecting, they're putting themselves in your email pool. Whereas what you're talking about is you're actively going out and seeking these people out.
You know, that's one part of many systems that we develop for our clients.
Okay.
Right. The main thing we focus on is building out sales funnels using advertising on Facebook and that sort of thing, and landing pages and chatbots.
Well, I want to weigh in on your question or the thing that you posed about the ethics of the chatbot and all that. Mm-hmm. And then I want to learn more about this chatbot thing.
Sure.
Because I can tell you from my perspective, if you are genuinely trying to serve the person that is receiving the communication, then I believe it to be right and just and true. And I can feel real good about that and sleep all night long like a baby. For example, if one of the things that I'm going to do to serve my digital marketing funnel and as foundation serve the people I'm communicating to is make them aware of today's show, whatever is the best way to get to the most people that will get the derive the most benefit, I can feel real good about that. And if the answer to that is chatbot, then I'll pull that trigger tomorrow.
Well, the dust hasn't settled on this whole chatbot thing, right? This really started becoming big around 2 years ago, I would say. And the industry is growing. And there's a lot more chatbots coming out. Facebook just released its chatbot API, I think, in 2016. So things are still happening. The dust hasn't settled. So with that said, consumer interaction with chatbots are still being learned right now. And the technology still isn't where it needs to be, right? So the technology behind it, we're talking about artificial intelligence. We're talking about natural language processing, these sort of things that you may have heard, you know, if you've ever read up on IBM Watson or anything like this. These are really cool technologies that are coming out that allow us to decipher what a consumer might be trying to get across, right, using natural language. So, you know, you mentioned, Kitty, you mentioned a pop-up form on your website. Mm-hmm. When is the last time that you put your email and information into a pop-up or into a subscription form? When's the last time? You don't know,
right? I don't know. Yeah.
So what's interesting to me is when we talk about these sort of things is that that we know the answers, right? We all, like, you know, for instance, TV advertising. When's the last time you actually looked at a commercial, right? You don't.
That's and get the chips, right?
Right. You either get up and get the chips or what do you do? You go straight to this thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm holding up my phone for the listener. But yeah, it's this billion-dollar industry. You know, it's so interesting to me that it's a billion-dollar industry, yet we know as business owners, as executives, as salespeople and marketers, that it doesn't work, right? As opposed to a pop-up on your website, I would invite you to learn more about chatbots and maybe putting a chatbot on your website instead of a pop-up form that's more conversational. And to tell you the truth, I think a lot more people know that it's a chatbot. You know, mm-hmm. I don't think that a lot of people are fooled that it's some person, you know, behind the curtain, you know, typing
well,
away.
Well, depending on your communication style, though, as an organization or a practitioner, I mean, I could feel comfortable even having, and I don't know how this thing works, but it wouldn't bother me for it to say, okay, this isn't really me, but I want to try to help guide you through the process, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, right.
I don't mind being that upfront and transparent with people.
Right.
I just want to serve them.
Right.
Because that's the way, back to what Denise was saying in the earlier segment, I really think that's the way the universe works. If we genuinely serve people, all the rest of it's going to come, right?
Right. And again, let's just talk about the practicality of chatbots. I like this subject. I'm very bullish on it. I think that a lot of business owners don't take advantage of it. Here's one insanely practical reason why your business should have a chatbot today. And we, by the way, all of our clients have chatbots. It doesn't matter if you're B2B, B2C. It applies to just about everyone. So B2B clients, I use chatbots to book appointments, right? So we use actually another local Atlanta company, Calendly, and we create buttons in the chatbot. We say, hey, would love to talk with you further about this after we've given them some information. And we give them an easy way to go ahead and book an appointment. That's, you know, a quite simple way to generate revenue through chatbots as a B2B, maybe service business. But let me just get back to what I believe is one of the main reasons why you want to be bullish as a business owner with chatbots is the cost to get people to opt into your chatbot is a fraction of a cent right now. So what we're seeing with some of the ads that we're running with our clients is, and again, Facebook just released just a few years ago, a messenger ad platform, right? Where you can click a button and it goes and they opt into your chatbot or into your messenger, your Facebook business page, right? Because it's new, it's extremely cheap. So the average cost per lead on Facebook, and by the way, cost per lead could be anything from someone actually filling out a form or even someone just clicking on a link. The average cost per lead on Facebook right now, if you're not using Messenger, if you're taking them to a landing page or to a website, is around... It could be anywhere from $2 to $4, and sometimes even more than that.
Wow,
right?
That can add up in a hurry.
It can add up, but it's also the cheapest thing out there right now, right? So it's still a good deal.
Okay.
But if I can get my clients a better deal, then great. What we're seeing with chatbots is there's three primary ways to get people to opt in. One is through putting a plugin on your website. So they visit your actual website and your Facebook chatbot pops up. Right. And it asks them, hey, how can I help you? And once they start talking to it, they've officially opted in. Right. The other way is, you know, through advertising. Right. So there are there's two ways that you can advertise the chatbot on Facebook. One is they click a send message button or a learn more button or something like that and they get opted in. But the other way is if they just comment on your post. Right. It's very interesting. Because what you can do is when you're setting up your Facebook ads, if there's anyone out there listening that's a Facebook ad practitioner, this is a little ninja tactic here. When you're setting up your Facebook ad, make sure that you click the cost per click when you're setting up your budget, as opposed to paying every time Facebook just gives you an impression.
Yeah.
Right.
So impressions are not impressive.
Right. So when you set it up this way, you're sort of, I don't know how long this is going to last. So jump on it while it's good. But what you're saying is, I'm only going to pay Facebook when someone clicks on my button, right? But in your ad, what you're asking people to do is to comment, right? You're not asking them to press the button below. You're asking them to comment something like, let's just say you guys run an ad to get people to opt into your messenger, and you say, comment below with Hot Lana, right? I don't know. It could be anything. Generally, you want it to be funny or catchy or something like this. As soon as they type in Hot Lana, the messenger pops up. They've opted into the chatbot. Okay, so you're not paying Facebook for the click, but you're getting a lead. And what's interesting about that is, again, once they've opted in, unless they mute the conversation or leave the conversation, we treat it as an email, right? So we can create sequences. And so maybe 5 days later, we send a message, a broadcast to, you know, thousands of people that opted into our Facebook chatbot, right? And the message might be something like this, you know, hey, take a look at the conversation we had today with, with these two, you know, great entrepreneurs in Atlanta. Yeah. I think you'd be really interested. You know, very informational, very conversational. It gets people, it builds a community. And so you can send that message out to 1,000 people and you're gonna see a 90% open rate on. You don't see that with email. And it costs you a fraction of a cent to get them to opt into it. So as a small business owner, as a marketer, as a growth hacker, as a salesperson, you really need to be looking into this space. I think that it's so practical that, and it amazes me that more people aren't, you know, I think it's a good thing for me, right? That more people aren't doing it because it's an opportunity. But yeah, you know, you're right. Things are moving very fast, but we have to be able to keep up with it in order to make money in this world. It's getting very competitive, right?
I like the idea of having a Sherpa. Katie, you've let this conversation just cause us to lose complete track of time. But before we wrap, I wanted to ask you, because earlier in the conversation, you had mentioned your military experience. Are you still kind of tapped into the veteran community in any way?
The veteran community in Atlanta is extremely strong. I've been all around the world. I've lived in Europe, lived all around the United States. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a community like this. A civilian community like this that supports its veterans. Some organizations, for any veterans that are listening, organizations that you definitely want to check out. There is an association called Vetlanta. It's an extremely powerful organization because they don't take any money. It's completely ran by veterans at Fortune 100 companies like Coke and Home Depot and I think Cox, and there's a few others. There's also a new organization that's just sprouted up earlier this year, if not late last year, called Bunker Labs. Now, Bunker Labs itself is not a new organization. It was actually founded by a Navy guy in Chicago, I believe. And they have chapters all over the United States. And Atlanta has been needing a chapter for a long time. But what Bunker Labs is, if you are an entrepreneur or if you're an investor, and you just so happen to be a veteran, definitely look up Joseph Shroka and Bunker Labs, and he'll point you in the right direction. But yes, the veteran community here in Atlanta is very strong.
So where can our listeners go to learn more about your work? I get the sense you may have already found them, or you find them if you want to, but can they just like go old school and pick up a phone and call you or send you a letter?
Well,
what's the best way?
Sure. You know, what's funny about that is I think the day and age of privacy is pretty much gone. We give so much information out there. You could just go to www.dragoonsmedia.com. It's pretty easy to remember. Actually, my Facebook chat bot's up there. So if you want to talk to me, on Facebook, it'll pop up for you, or LinkedIn, Justin Hackney. I think I'm the first one that pops up. So,
man, I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, as I'm sure you can tell. It's been a fantastic. Doesn't this just beat the heck out of working, Katie? I love it. No, this is a lot of fun. Thank you both for joining us, and keep up the good work. Justin, we gotta have you back, man.
Yeah.
we ought to do like a segment on this from time to time. I don't know. But this has been a lot of fun. Thank you both so much for joining us this morning.
Great. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Katie Galley, our guest this morning, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on Atlanta Business Radio.